The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Yeah, don't it sound so epic? Horns are screaming, I ain't the one you want to mess with. Use a joke, I ain't the one you want to jest with. The battle's coming, you only got a few seconds to run.
Hello, everybody. My name is Matt Minnick, and this is Coach Speak. Well, after teasing it a bit on Twitter this week, against my better judgment, I am going to get into my backup long snapper story to start off with here in defense and hopefully to gain some sympathy for my man, Mr. Mitchell Wilcox. I was in college a backup long snapper. My freshman year as the backup long snapper, I didn't get in the game in that capacity. I played tight end and wing on the field goal PAT team, but I didn't end up doing any of the snaps that year. Then my sophomore year, somebody got hurt, all right? The snapper got hurt during the game, and I went in for a punt. And right on target, bounced it. it just went a little low, but it skipped like perfectly up. It was on a turf field. This is back when that wasn't very popular either. One of the only turf fields we played on, but skipped it right up to the punter. Slow enough though that it did get blocked, even though it went right to the punter. So that was my short-lived career as a college long snapper. I did actually play some semi-pro, and I was a snapper there, and I never had any issues at that level. But my one and only college snap ended very, very poorly. So, look, it's not easy. And Zach Taylor's taking all this heat about not having a guy ready. Like that's crazy. Like, first of all, Mitch Wilcox has been injured. He hasn't been practicing that much. And you know, that was a conversation Andre Parada and I were having on Twitter before the game about whether or not Wilcox would be active. And yeah, he's going out there and he's getting snaps. Like I guarantee he's going out there and he's getting some snaps in, but he's an offensive player. Like, that's where he's spending the majority of time. But he's come out before practice and he's getting some snaps, which honestly is about all those guys do in college anyway. You know what I mean? Because a lot of those guys in college are playing other positions. So It's not on the coach for not being prepared, right? You could say, well, hey, after the first one, they shouldn't have done it. They should have gone for it. They shouldn't have kicked on third down. You can make all those points and put that on Taylor. Sure. Like, very, very fair. But, like, let's not say that they should have had a better option, like, rostered somebody to be the backup long snapper or something. Like, you know, the Caledonimus, like, should have been active as the backup long snapper. I mean, if anything, they should be praised for being, I'm just going to go off on a limb and say, the only team out there that has had a long snapper sitting waiting on their practice squad, you know, who's going to be very good for them, I think. So, you know, the other thing about the Wilcox thing is, like, he went out for a punt later, and he was fine. The punt, which, to me, the punts are the hard ones. Yeah, extra points are easy. Like, the short snap, no, it's a short snap and a long snap. And the short snaps, to me, you know, are easy. You can just dart that thing in there. It's not that far back. You know, but it's a little farther. You get a little bit more juice on it to get the punt back. So, yeah, and he did that one just fine. So, let's talk a little bit about what happened here. Number one, the extra point, all right, and the block, and like I said, I played some tight end, some wing. Sample's got to step down, but he's got to leave his outside foot planted, right? So what it does is you actually block the guy that's inside of you to take that away, because that's the guy that can actually get there really fast. But you don't, like, step way down and make a short edge so the other guy can get around. You still make the guy run around you, which means they're going to get the kickoff. And it shouldn't be a problem in that scenario. But he didn't do anything on the inside guy. You know, and that's why Darren Simmons says that it wouldn't have mattered if Clark Harris was in there. And maybe it wouldn't have, because Minka ran right through. But Wilcox was very, very slow on that, and I think it did play a factor there. You know, it's got that thing's got to be getting off in like 1.2, 1.3 seconds, and look, it's hard to do it. Like, I'm looking at the TV and I'm trying to like step it out and get the right angle and stuff. I think it was closer to two. I think it was, you know, I think 1.7 would be being nice. Like, it was definitely over 1.5. So that thing was super duper slow. But maybe it didn't matter, because maybe Minka was going to get there anyway. I don't know. The next one was high and hard. And look, it was third down, and that was, you know, the conversation there was, well, wasn't the point of doing it on third down? So if it's a bad snap, You can sit on it and you get another chance. And yeah, that is the idea. But I think in general, the real idea is let's get the damn kickoff, you know. And Huber did a good job. Like, he made the catch, he got it down, he put it down. Yes, the laces were facing the kicker. No, that doesn't really matter. It is a very, very overplayed thing. Thank you very much, Jim Carrey. Is it a factor? Sure. Like, everything's a factor. Like, you know, when you're a kicker, you tie your shoelaces and put them to the side, you know, so you're getting full contact on the ball. Like, you want full contact on the ball. So having the laces there, you know, can throw that off a little bit. Is it going to make you shank a kick from that distance? Hell no. All right. So that it wasn't a factor in that kick. What was a factor was, I think that the block got into his head, and you could see him, like, he kind of turned his hips to the side where he missed. All right, whereas his hips were square. His hips are square when he finishes through on previous kicks, on all of his kicks. But there, he kind of turned him off to the left. Also, it kind of looked like he punched it a little bit. Like, if you're a bad golfer, which I'm a bad golfer, all right? So you ever watch me, like, try and chip, and I don't fall through on my chip shots. I just kind of, like, I'm just, like, trying to get a divot and just hoping it pops up all right. You know, like you don't fall through. So if you ever see somebody really bad at taking chip shots, or if you ever play golf with me, you know what I'm talking about. I kind of feel that's what he, like, did. I don't feel like he fully went through. Again, like, he was holding back, like he was afraid of getting blocked, like you thought the guy was coming in or something. I think it got into his head a little bit. And this is something I talked about in the offseason, you know, when people were talking about replacing Huber. And I was like, well, the most important thing is you don't want to screw up McPherson. Like, you got to have a holder and a snapper that he trusts. And, you know, now that's where we're at. You know, where that might have gotten into his head a little bit. I think he's fine. I think he'll bounce back. I mean, this is the guy that snuck out, you know, to watch the Super Bowl halftime show to see all the old school rappers. But that's the mindset and that's the attitude of a guy who's going to be just fine in a situation, as far as I'm concerned. But I think at that moment it was in his head, and I think that that's what caused that to happen. So there it is. You know, it's Sample's fault. Yeah, it's a little Wilcox's fault. All right, obviously the missed kick was on McPherson. I think Huber did a great job. I don't think any of that's on Huber. Like, I don't give a shit about kicking the laces. When the ball comes in that high and hard and you get the damn thing down, don't care. I think Huber's 100% innocent on that. So, but hey, they got Cal Adamas. I'm excited about that. I thought he had some hype. He had more hype than I've never heard people talking about a long snapper like this guy coming out. I thought he might have a chance at making a run at Harris anyway, and it sounds like it was actually kind of close in camp from the whispers you hear. So they're going to be all right with that. They're going to be good with that, and we're going to love him. He's going to be the man. So I'm very excited about that to see what happens moving forward here. So let's get to the real reason that the Bengals lost last weekend, and it is that Joe Burrow was bad. He threw four picks, and that's a stat, that's a fact, but he just wasn't good overall. And I don't expect that to ever happen again. I don't expect him to ever throw four picks again. Everything we know about this guy says that he is going to bounce back, and that he has probably just been angry about this all week. He's definitely looked into all of his film, broken his own game apart. He has definitely looked into the Cowboys defense with every ounce of his energy and broken them apart. And I fully expect Joe Burrow to be back in Joe Burrow form this week. Now, the offensive line took a lot of heat over some of this stuff. I think you look at them, you look at the sack numbers, obviously the sack numbers are bad, right? It's really six. They call it seven sacks, but one of them wasn't legitimate. But look, people complained about the preseason. There's no continuity. They didn't practice together. Well, they did practice together, but you know what I mean. They didn't get live game action together. Well, they had a week of practice against the Rams and Aaron Donald, right? So there's that. The guy who I think struggled the most was Cordell Volson, who played significantly in the preseason. So add that to the list. All right. And then, I think Jonah, Leo Collins, I think they had to shake off some rust. Like, Leo Collins wasn't going to play in those preseason games. By the way, Burrow wasn't going to play in those preseason games with appendectomy anyway. That wasn't just a Zach Taylor thing. That was any coach in the world thing wasn't going to play Joe Burrow in a preseason game this year. So, it doesn't matter those guys didn't play. You know what I'm saying? And they'll bounce back. We know how good Jonah is. I think he was shaking off the rust. I think Collins was shaking off a little bit of rust. Collins didn't play too bad. But then look, that was really good competition. And now Cordell Volson has made one actual NFL start, and he's already seen, competition against Aaron Donald and Cam Hayward, and, been practicing against DJ Reader and EJ Hill. Like he's seen some stuff now. Like, that kid's gonna grow up fast, I think. So let's chill on that stuff. But hey, Karras and Kappa look pretty good. Like, you didn't hear their names called very much. There was some really good protection there too. Like, at times there was some sacks, and some of that's, like I said, there were some individual losses there, but there was also some really good protection, and a lot of snaps in that game, by the way, too, because it's a game that we played almost five quarters in. So there's some good things going on there too. Don't think that the O-line isn't fixed, right? Let's not give up on it quite yet. I see good things coming there. And finally, let's talk about the defense. Look, the defense, you could say they played really well, but give me a turnover. You got to give me a turnover. That's what the game is right now. Great defense in the NFL is not holding a team to 13 points, all right? That's not how you win in this league anymore. It is creating turnovers, creating opportunities for your offense, and they didn't do that, all right? Obviously, the Steelers did, So they've got to figure out a way to do that. And it's something they struggled with at the beginning of last year, too, and then they got going with it. So for all the good that they did, and obviously, great job stopping the run. We see, good performance at a reader, but they've got to figure out how to create turnovers, create opportunities, especially if Burrow's giving it up. They got to figure out, all right, how do we get it back to him? How do we give him more opportunities? How do we let him work through this? So I'm looking forward to the Cowboys game. I think there's going to be some opportunities for all of these things to get worked out in this game. And let's not panic. Let's not pack it in. Let's not give up on the season, because there are good days ahead of us. And by the way, four picks, and they lost the game off the ridiculousness of a missed of a blocked extra point, and then a shanked field goal by a guy who's awesome. Like things that will never happen. For all the things that the Bengals do and are successful at, and people are like, well, that was a fluke thing, right? There was some fluke shit that led to them losing this football game, all right? So let's not look past that. And, you know, like that, and it was in spite of the fact that Burrow did play poorly. Their best player, their quarterback, played poorly and gave up the ball four times, gave up a touchdown on offense, right? In spite of that, they lost by a goddamn point, right? And the Steelers aren't as bad as you think they are, and they lost by a point, okay? That tells you this is not your father's Cincinnati Bengals, right? This is a different club. This is a different beast. These are different cats. I'm excited, right? They're going to get better. It's going to come around. And, you know, like, look, it's September. Like, September is figuring out who you are. Like, you saw with the Patriots all the time. Like, the Patriots would drop a few in September, and, like, people would be like, ah, man, this is it. The Patriots dynasty's over. They suck. Oh, Tom Brady's blows, right? No. Like, it's just figuring out what the team is this year. Learning some things, figuring it out. It is not about winning games in September. It's about being in a position, you know, to win games in December and January. And that means, how good of a team are you at that point of the year? All right. How many lessons have you learned? Where have you come? How have you developed as a team? And how healthy are you at that point? That's it. Like, that's how you win games at the end of the year, is having those two things. Anyway, I'm Eminik. This is Coach Speak. Let's go down to Dallas and get one. Who dat? Yeah, we coming for what's ours. Yeah, we coming for what's ours. You